Hi, everyone. Welcome to our brand new reoccurring Loss Prevention Insights podcast with your hosts, Allie Falk and Jack Britton, where we will be discussing all things loss prevention. I've been thinking a lot about where we are as an industry today, and it's also led me to think, like, how did we get here? How have we evolved? And so that being said, I really wanted to do that as a topic for this podcast. And obviously, we can't cover the entire evolution of loss prevention, but I do think we can discuss a few contributing factors. So I think a good place to start would be Jack. Do you mind briefly telling us a little bit about your industry background?
Absolutely. I started back in the early 80s in a discount department store chain. I started catching shoplifters part-time. From there, I moved on to a luxury department store chain, a company called Higbee's, which is based out of Cleveland. It's no longer around. From there, I got into a category killer, a sporting goods chain, and worked in loss prevention through that type of a company. I moved on to a specialty retail chain, and then got into executive search. I was hired by the largest search firm in the country that deals in loss prevention placements. I did that for about 13 years, and then I moved into working on the loss prevention certifications for the Loss Prevention Foundation. Through that whole thing, I was also working with LP Magazine and ended up becoming their editorial director, which is what I do now.
Awesome. So you started in the 1980s.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I have to know, being a loss prevention professional back in the 80s, like, for example, compared to today, what has been one of the most apparent changes to you in how we approach a shoplifter in a store in the middle of, you know, shoplifting?
Well, you have to understand that back when I got started, most of the directors and vice presidents of loss prevention were largely former law enforcement people. They had a different way of looking at things, a different perspective on how we should handle things in the stores. And what we focused most of our time on was looking for shoplifters. That's what we did. We dealt with shoplifters in the store, making apprehensions. We dealt with internal investigations in the store and dealing with employees that were involved in different types of theft. Obviously, that's changed quite a bit over the years. Right. Yes, those things are still important. Okay. Right. But the way we approach things is much different. We try to look at things much more proactively. You know, for example, back then when I had somebody in the store that I thought was about to steal something, what I might do is have our dispatcher call somebody in the department and tell them to stay away from the person. And we would go ahead and allow them to try to steal.
Right,
okay,
right.
And then make an apprehension when they left.
Right, right.
Which actually reinforces the idea of how important customer service is. You know, today we do the opposite. We encourage our employees to approach people and give them that great customer service. And that way they learned, well, I might as well go on to some place where they don't want to pay as much attention to me. And, you know, from a shoplifting standpoint, that was one of the biggest changes that I think has happened over the years. Is just our approach to it, the way we look at it, the way we handle people at the doors, you know, the way we approach the whole aspect of theft and loss in the stores is different.
Right. Do you think that this more hands-off approach that we see today, like, did this take you by surprise? And I guess if you were, you know, in the 80s working, did you see this coming? Or what did you not expect to see coming, whether it's like a technology that we use today or just this hands-off approach?
Boy, that's a loaded question. There's a lot to unlock there. But, you know, I think that to start with, the answer to your primary question there is no, I'm not surprised. I really think that it needed to happen. I mean, you know, we've never been, or we should never have been, all about just simply catching bad guys.
Right, right.
That's not what we're there to do. We're there to help enhance the profitability of the retail store. We're there to help them make sales. We're there to make sure that the product is there to sell. Right, okay. Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's our job to go out there and enforce laws and make sure that we catch people stealing in the stores. That's not, and never should be our primary objective. Yes, that type of thing becomes our responsibility. Yes, it needs to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
But we should be there to help the stores move forward.
Do you think that, right? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Do you think that from the jump, and I guess this is, you know, hard and subjective, most likely an opinion, but do you think from the jump that we placed too much emphasis on quote unquote catching bad guys versus, you know, sales and shrink and things like that?
I don't know if it's so much an emphasis on catching bad guys as much as it is an overall approach to the business of retail. You know, that's what the difference is. You know, if you look at what a law enforcement officer does, you know, one of the things that I would point out to you, Ali, is if you look at law enforcement, one of the primary objectives of a law enforcement officer on the streets is to be visible. We're there to, as a law enforcement person, you're there to make sure that people see you. They know that you're there. You're there for protection, but you're also there as a visible deterrent to the types of things that can happen, okay? In retail loss prevention, the role is to more be invisible. That's what we're there to be. We're there to accomplish a lot of those same goals, but to kind of do it without people noticing so much that we're there. A lot of times, yes, they know we're there, okay? But it shouldn't be that apparent to them that they're concerned that we're watching them, for example.
Obviously, it's just so violent today, and people are getting hurt, people are getting killed, and it's really crazy out there. And I'm wondering, do you think that the job opportunity that we see now, people are more drawn to get into this field and try and help? And again, this is totally subjective in opinion, but, or do you think the opposite? Do you think seeing all this violence that workers and employees are enduring, do you think that they're almost driven away from trying to get into this industry?
Into the retail industry or the loss prevention industry?
Loss prevention industry, sorry.
Okay. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily a factor today that's going to influence that many people. Okay. Of course, there's always going to be a risk of somebody getting hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. That depends on the individual and how you approach it. That depends on the policies of the company and the way that they want you to approach the issues that happen in the store. Okay.
Right.
There's controls that are in place to make sure that we don't put ourselves in as many positions where we can make bad decisions. Okay. Or decisions that can get us in trouble one way or another. Okay. That's why we have policies, but that's also why we have training programs. You know, training becomes so much more important in the way that we approach things. You know, you look back when I was doing this in the field, and you'll hear the back in the day war stories that people have about chasing shoplifters out of the store and down the street and in an alley somewhere. Okay. And I think I've shared a few of those stories with you over time.
You have.
you can't do that. And you think back on how absolutely stupid that was. For us to take that approach. You don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you could run into. It was more about, you know, it was some sort of macho approach to what we do that we're going to stop these people rather than really looking at, okay, is there really something in the store that's worth somebody getting hurt over? Is it worth me getting hurt over? Is it worth a customer getting hurt over or an employee? Is it worth the person who was stealing getting hurt over? You know, you look at it, if you're trying to stop me and I'm a shoplifter and I leave the store and you chase me and I get hit by a car because you're chasing me, there are times when people will turn around and there will be a liability against the company for that. Okay? There are things like that you have to think about that we really truly didn't think much about then.
Right. Seemed like, yeah. And again, this ties in with the whole evolution. Like it has evolved to consider so many more things than it once did. So I also, as we're talking here, Jack, like I know there is evidence that shows ORC and violence has gotten a lot worse, right? But I feel that the media portrays that obviously a lot more than it did back in the day because we didn't have social media. And it I don't know if it makes it seem worse than it is. Like, what would your opinion be on that?
No, it's bad right now. We're not talking about shoplifters when you're talking about that, Allie. Okay.
Like
For the most
violent
part, it's
incidents.
not shoplifters that are involved
Rioting.
in these types of issues as much as it is people that are involved in things like organized retail crime, people who are stealing for a living, people who look at that as something where their risk of getting caught means that they're not out stealing. And when they're not out stealing, they're not out making money. And you know, their whole idea of that violence is to make sure that they don't get caught and put in jail. Okay. Whereas when you're dealing with simple shoplifter situation where somebody makes a poor decision. Okay. You know, that happens much more than I think people realize, but that's not what really is hurting the retail establishments today. It's that group of people that are stealing to make money and will steal at whatever cost.
Right.
And they are not going to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's their approach to it. You know, you've got people out there carrying bear spray.
Yeah.
You know, and simply if somebody approaches them at all, they point out and say, I'm gonna spray this stuff on you if you don't get out of my way.
Right.
Or tasers, or you know, any one of a number of different types of things.
Yeah.
You've got people that have been stopped. They leave the store. They're so angry that we stopped them from stealing that they come back in the store later and hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So
No, it's
it
awful.
Really is truly a problem today. It's
yeah.
something that we all have to be aware of.
Right. So another topic that I wanted to hover on as far as contributing factors to the loss prevention evolution is, you know, challenging elements. Obviously, the hands-off approach can be frustrating, and maybe that's a challenge for some people because they're so eager to just physically stop someone and they're not, you know, trained to do that anymore. Or maybe it's a certain technology that they're having a hard time adapting to. And I'm wondering to you and maybe to others out there, like, what are some of the most or the most challenging element to adapt to today that we didn't have back in the day?
Well, I think that I don't know if it's challenging. I think when you talk about technology, it's taken us, you know, in great leaps in positive directions, things that you simply couldn't understand. You know, when we talk about going through journal tapes and trying to match that up with a VHS recording of somebody that's stealing in the stores, that was a tremendous process that we had to go through. So time consuming to do that stuff. When you were looking at refund slips and trying to determine, you know, whether or not somebody was committing fraud by making false refunds in the stores. Okay. That process was something that you had to go through by hand. We had stacks and stacks of papers that we had to go through to try to find that stuff. Now you can do it, you know, in a matter of seconds with the type of technologies that we have now. You know, we have things today. If you look at other technology, you look at things like the carts that we have now that will stop at the doors if somebody tries to push out a cart full of merchandise. Okay? That type of technology has made a huge difference in grocery stores and some of the other discount department stores and so forth. Okay.
Right.
You know, you look at the camera systems, okay, and the way that those are operating today. Back when I was doing this in the stores, you had this monster camera that would sit up on the ceiling that anybody and everybody could watch, follow, and throw somebody through the store. Okay, that doesn't exist anymore. You know, those types of things, I wouldn't call them challenges. I would call them definite advantages to the way that we do things today.
Okay? Yeah. I was just thinking, because when I did my data analytics story and I was interviewing all of those experts, I was like, as we were going through data analytics, it was hard for me to follow because I am, you know, new to that whole concept and I'm not very much a tech person. So to me, I was thinking, you know, if I was on a team like that, I think that would be a challenge for me to just learn and understand technology like that. But to your point, it helps exponentially in the industry for us to be able to grow. So yeah, I think it'd be interesting to hear. And if you are listening out there, let us know what you find challenging, because I'm sure there's a lot. And like I mentioned earlier, I can't even imagine how frustrating and challenging it is to, not be able to physically stop people. Like, that's just me. I've never been in the loss prevention industry, but as you know, someone watching, I'd be like, oh my God, like I just, that would be a challenge. That'd be a challenge to me. So,
well, let's go there. Let's go
yeah,
there.
Sure.
Okay?
Let's go there.
let's look at that whole topic.
Let's
First
do
of
it.
All, most people out there that aren't loss prevention people really don't have the training in the background to be able to make that decision to stop somebody from the start point.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
you know, do you know the five steps? Okay.
No.
But what we have to go through before,
Yeah.
you know, you have to see somebody enter a department. You have to see them select the merchandise.
Right.
Okay. You have to see them conceal the merchandise. You have to see them, you have to maintain continuous observation from the time that you see them conceal until the time that they exit the store.
Right.
To make sure that they don't dump it. And then
right.
you have to have them exit the store, which beyond any doubt shows that there's intent to steal. Okay.
Right.
Do you really think that most people maintain all those steps? You know,
no chance.
Did you do
Yeah,
that
no
when you
chance.
were a salesperson in the store? And you
Absolutely
have
not.
no right to stop somebody under those circumstances. You're not sure what their objective was and what they were
Right.
doing. Okay.
Right.
And even when you have somebody that's much more deliberate, they're pushing out a cart full of merchandise. Okay. Whatever's in that cart is whatever in that cart were somebody getting hurt for.
Right.
We
And I
had
think
somebody last year that got killed because they simply, just a split second decision, they made the decision to stand in front of somebody that was trying to push a cart out of the store.
Yeah.
They ended up getting knocked over, cracked their head, and died.
I remember that. That was right when I joined the team. I remember reading that and I was like, that's just, it's sad because I tend to, and this is probably not the best trait, but I tend to act impulsively. And it's moments like those where it's just like, you don't know what it's going to create. And I do appreciate the hands-off approach in that aspect, but it's just, yeah, that split second of just instinctual impulsivity. And it just can lead to so much more. It's
Well,
truly really sad.
That's
Yeah,
what training is
that's
for.
what training is for. That's
It's to
yeah.
try to help us overcome those instincts.
I know.
You gotta
yeah.
learn to let it go.
And
That's
again, it's like it must be challenging. Like that's got to be hard.
Well, you know, there's a balance. I mean, there is a
Yeah.
balance. I mean, most people, you know, they don't want to stand by and let somebody walk out of their store with an armload of merchandise.
Yeah, I
Okay.
can't even imagine how frustrating that is.
We don't want that to happen.
Right.
But we don't want you to get hurt.
Right. Ultimately,
Bottom
that's the
line,
goal.
It's
Right.
not worth it.
For sure.
So, we deal with those types of things in other ways today. Okay. We have, you know, task force and special teams that deal with those organized groups that are involved in that type of theft activity.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, that should be our objective, is to do what we can to protect the store and protect ourselves.
For sure. Do you expect that this will get, and when I say this, I'm in regards to violence and organized retail crime. Do you think that in 2024 this will get better? Or do you think it'll get worse before it gets better? Like, what is your take on it?
That's really hard to say. You know, a
Yeah.
lot of that depends on the retailer.
Sure.
Okay. You know, we have policies in place to help protect our people and our products. Okay.
Right.
But you know, I think there also has to be, you know, a change in perspective when it comes to some of the laws that are in place out there. You know, when we put a law in place that says you can steal up to $1,000 worth of merchandise and not have it be a felony, and then you have people out there that realize that, and so they steal $999 worth of merchandise so that it's not a felony, and repeat it over and over and over again to where they get picked up and they're out on the street within an hour and stealing again.
Yeah.
We've had areas in this country where people have been picked up 3 and 4 times on the same day after being arrested.
It's
Okay.
so ridiculous.
They get
Yeah.
arrested, they get out, they get arrested, they get out, they get arrested, they get out. And, you know, that comes to having the types of legislation in place
Right.
that we need to. We need to have Our law enforcement partners out there work hard, and they do everything that they can to make sure that we're all protected out there.
Yeah,
But they
absolutely.
also prioritize things as well. And frankly, a lot of those things in the past haven't necessarily always been their top priority.
Right.
And we sometimes we need to change the perspective on that. And a lot of that comes with is really recognizing the difference between some shoplifter that's stole a pack of gum or a sweater from a store versus that person that's involved in organized retail crime and stealing for money.
Right. And I will say, though, and maybe it's because I have increased awareness since I'm, you know, on the Loss Prevention Magazine team now. But it does seem that in the past year, we have been hearing people voice out concerns and opinions more often. And again, maybe not, maybe I'm just more in tune with that now, but it does seem like we're headed in the right direction with people really trying to make this the priority that it should take and have.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, when you look at how we've evolved, I think that everything that we're doing has taken us in a positive direction. We're learning.
Seems like it. It seems
It's
like
a
it.
process of learning. It's an evolution. You know, the way we've taken it and made it more of a formal process of education, not just training, but education in how we should be handling these types of things in the stores. It's becoming, loss prevention has become a profession where before it might have been viewed more as a job. And that's an important distinction that I think that we've seen today.
Yeah, absolutely. So to wrap this thing up, Jack, I am wondering just, you know, on this positive note we have going, what is something that you're just excited about for 2024 in the loss prevention industry?
Boy, I think that, you know, we're seeing a lot of great partnerships out there right
That's
now.
True. Yeah,
We're,
we
we're
are.
seeing partnerships that we've never seen before in a lot of cases. We have district attorneys that are now working very closely with retail companies, you know, to learn more about the types of problems that we're facing out there. This whole vibrant communities program that we've got going on now is really exciting, that the things that can happen with that. You know, we've definitely seen that with the ORCAs, the Organized
Absolutely.
Retail Crimes Associations, and the way our law enforcement teams are working so well with our retail partners out there, and they're making a difference. They're making an impact on a lot of these incidents.
Yeah.
I look at what we're doing with CLEAR and RELA, the fact that we're bringing those types of organizations together, which basically gives exposure to both that maybe those folks that are involved might not have had access to before. If you're a law enforcement person and you're going to a loss prevention conference, okay, you get exposure to a lot of different things, and vice versa. When we have the retailers out there that get more exposure to law enforcement, and we build these partnerships and we work so closely together. I also really like the fact that we've got all these solution providers that are now starting to work closer together, and they'll take and integrate their products so that it becomes much more valuable to the retailer in the way that we do things. Those are the types of steps that we need to take. Those innovative steps that really take us in the right direction is what we need to continue to do.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I remember at NRF last year, collaboration was just a huge topic. And I think that it will continue to be that way. But that's something I'm really excited for as well, is just seeing the partnerships and the collaborations, and see what outcome that can be made out of those. So I'm excited for that. And I'm also excited to, as I mentioned earlier, I'm excited to see who, or, you know, what retailer or solution provider, whatever, who's going to voice opinions and, you know, problems, because that is important. It's so important. And with social media, it's like, the more we can prioritize this problem and get it out there in the media, the better outcome I would hope to see. So I'm excited for 2024. And I think that we are, like you said, taking steps in the right direction. So I'm excited. But well, thank you for your time today, Jack. It was fun, and I'm excited for the rest of our podcast. So this was number one, so stay tuned. We're going to have more on many different topics. So we'll see you then.
Thanks, everyone.